All right.
Welcome to the first ever solo edition of Are You Not Kentertained? This is probably going to be terrible because I'm doing it by myself and I have no real game plan, but I'm working on this whole 100 horror movies in October thing, and I wanted to just talk a little bit about the movies that I've seen so far, and I'd kind of like to do a few more updates as the month goes on, go over some of the things that I've already seen, and maybe entice you into watching some of these things. Alright, with that being said, we're going to start right with, we're just going to kind of go in chronological order of what I started out with, okay? So I started off doing the first, well, I did all five of the Final Destination movies. If you like horror, you've probably seen at least the original Final Destination film. At that point, you either liked it enough where you kind of carried on. You may have liked it enough, but you're really not that much into horror, so that was about the extent of what you did. Or you just don't, you know, like horror. For those that did watch it, a lot of people typically did like the first one. It's about a class, like a high school class, and they're going to go on a trip to Paris, and this one boy, he has this premonition that the plane's going to explode, so he starts panicking aboard the plane. Like seven people get off the plane with him, and sure enough, the plane explodes, and we find out that he kind of ruined Death's plan, and the rest of the film is set around trying to avoid Death, but there's actually an order to it, and you really can't mess with Death's plan, but they try to. Tony Todd is in it. He, he's the Candyman from Candyman. He plays a character called Bloodworth, and Bloodworth appears in parts 1, 2, and 5. He's got just a small role, but he always gives, like, this unique bit of advice. Perfect role for Tony Todd, really. The rest of the cast, you got Ali Larter. I think this was, like, right when she was sort of getting her legs under her, starting to build up a name for herself. The rest of the cast are, they were serviceable. Nothing against cast. I don't think there was many other big names. There was Sean William Scott. My bad. He had a funny role. He's a funny guy. At least, back then he was. This is year 2000 that this was made. Or came out, at least. It was a really unique idea. And I'm surprised that that there wasn't, like, copycats made. Let's face it, the horror genre in general is a breeding ground for copycat films, right? So, it's just a little surprising that it was never copied. Then, of course, the sequels come along, you know? So, you have this really, in my opinion, it's a really great first movie. Then you get the second one, and the second one deals with a lady having a premonition. Get used to that word. Lady has a premonition about a car accident, like, on this major highway. So she holds up traffic, stops, another group of people from dying, blah, 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 blah. Ali Larter returns. So that is cool. I'm trying to think of who else was in that. I really don't remember off the top of my head if there was anybody else that was terribly, like, a really big name or anything of that nature. But it was still a fun movie. It was actually a really good sequel. Let's face it, most sequels are not that good. Ali Larter returned in this, and she plays a pivotal role. And there's some pretty cool deaths in this. They really still were having fun with this at this point. a really solid follow-up. I would recommend it if you liked part one. I'd recommend part two. And then we get to part three. Final Destination 3, the whole premonition is on a roller coaster with a bunch of high school idiots, and the roller coaster cart goes off the tracks and flies off and blah blah blah, and this girl has a premonition. I believe it is the girl, the main girl, she's actually done some other stuff, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, or Winstead, I don't know how to pronounce that. She starred in 10 Cloverfield Lane, so if you've seen that, you are familiar with her. This wasn't bad, but you could sense that the franchise was on the downhill slope big time. This definitely was, I don't want to say a cash grab, but realistically, they weren't trying as hard as they had in the past, it didn't feel like. Although I did like the idea that she could do her premonition via the pictures that she took early on. There were some really cool deaths. I'd say that the two hot chicks that go sun tanning in the tanning beds there, great death. Or deaths, I should say. There was a couple other ones, but by and large, you know, it was clearly on its way down, but still entertaining if you liked the first two movies. Then you go to part four, and it's not even called Final Destination Part 4. It is THE Final Destination. Sort of like how Fast and Furious became THE Fast and Furious. I don't know what it is about part four is that they do that for, but it's pretty silly, if you ask me. So, this one's done in 3D, and if you didn't see it in the theater in 3D, first of all, if you saw it in the theater in 3D, you probably still sighed at it. You probably still thought, well, this is crap. But at least it was in 3D, and you could enjoy some of it. If you're at home watching it on a normal TV without any 3D effects, it looks like a made-for-sci-fi original film at certain points. The effects are super cheesy. They just don't translate well, which is half the problem with making horror films in 3D. They do not translate well beyond the 3D effects. Saw the final chapter, the part 7, Saw 3D. Doesn't translate well. It's not as glaringly bad as this, though. This is really one of the worst to watch on normal, regular TV. The premonition started off at a racetrack, and no cars turned right. They were still all going left. There was a big accident. A lot of people died. Blah, 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 blah. Some of the deaths were, they were serviceable, but realistically, this was by far this is the bottom. This is the low point in the franchise. There's no other real nice way of putting it, to be perfectly honest. I kind of liked her character's called the MILF. The MILF's character and her whole death scene in the beauty salon. That was actually a well done death. By and large, though, meh. They did have the dude who played Bubba Gump. I can never pronounce his name, but it's like Mikitay Washington. I just butchered the hell out of that. I know that, but hey, I'm trying. Anyway, if you want to avoid this movie and just skip right on over, you are fine. Tony Todd does not appear in any shape or form. At least in part three, he was the voice of this, of the devil statue, I guess you would call it. He's nowhere to be found in this one. And actually, that's good for him not to be involved in this. Then we finally get to part five. And part 5, I had zero expectations at this point. Because the past two were slowly delineating, and then we have this story with a person that I'm familiar with, David Kochner. He was in Anchorman, he was in Thank You for Smoking, funny dude, he was in The Office, he's been in all sorts of stuff, and he's almost always a funny dude to me. He's in it, and we had the return of Bloodworth. I'm trying to think if there was anybody else terribly recognizable, but I don't really think there was. The cool thing, first of all, was I liked the early premonition. We start off, the whole premonition is that a bridge is going to collapse. If you've ever seen Mothman Prophecies and how they portrayed that, that was kind of a terrifying thing. Let's face it, being on a bridge that's, you know, collapsing, that's one of the more terrifying things that can happen in life, because, you know, you're going to drown to death, more than likely. And for any idiot that's like, oh, well, drowning's supposed to be a peaceful death, I really want you to think about that for a moment. How the hell are we supposed to... what are we basing that off of? Nobody that's drowned to death has come back to life and was like, you know, compared to all these other ways that I've died in the past, this was really peaceful. No, you don't have anything to compare it to. Furthermore, if you're dead, you ain't coming back to tell us. For comparison's sake, put a gun to my head and just shoot me dead. Cool. I don't want to drown. That sounds like a minute of sheer panic before you finally submit to, yep, my last minute on this earth was underwater, struggling, and got nowhere. Like, there's nothing peaceful about that. Whoever says that, back of my fucking hand. Anyway, the movie plays out, and actually a lot of the deaths are pretty good. A character named Isaac has a really good death. I liked Olivia's. There was just a lot of good things going on, but the best part was right towards the end. Our two main characters, they were going to go to Paris. Well, sure enough, they tied it into the original, and they are actually on the plane from the original film, because we never was told what date it was or anything. And I thought that was just a really brilliant play, to be perfectly honest. And then there's another scene after that that just wraps everything up, and then during the credits, they did something similar to what they did for Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare, where they show like all the death scenes throughout the franchise. And I really, really appreciated that. It just felt like they closed the book nicely on the franchise. And, you know, we'll probably see it again in another 10 years. It'll pop up because the horror movie genre, it just... You have the people that are original with shit for a budget, and you have the unoriginal fucks with a huge budget that just recreate things. But that's why, like, horror just struggles to make any headway, because you finally get a breakthrough hit, and then it's like, well, we gotta cash in, let's make as many sequels as humanly possible. So every big franchise this century, Final Destination, Insidious, Saw, Hostel, Paranormal Activity, even something like Hatchet, all of them just kind of have sequel after sequel. Look at fucking Sharknado, man. Yeah. Point is that once you strike it big, you're almost... In order to get some money so you can actually go for that big movie, you have to make some shitty sequels, and then your star kind of burns a little bit. One of the few people that kind of broke away from that actually is James Wan. He's the dude behind The Conjuring, Saw, Insidious, and I think it was like Fast and the Furious 5, oh, Fast 5 and Fast 6, or whatever the fuck those movies' names are. I really haven't seen one since Part 4. He's done really, really good things, and he really wasn't terribly involved with Annabelle, and that's even better because that movie fucking sucked. Okay, so, all in all, you could do a lot worse than to do a horror movie marathon of Final Destination. That's really the gist of what I have to say in regards to that franchise. Moving on, I came across this movie on, I think it was Screambox, which is kind of like a Netflix only for just horror movies. And this movie is called All Hallows Eve. And it was an anthology film, and it had a creepy clown. And with all the ridiculous clown things happening, I thought, okay, why not? My buddy Ron was over, we were drinking, and I was like, eh, fuck it, let's do it. There's three short films in it, and two of them, come to find out, had already been released online. So it was just kind of like a recycled footage, but from the same people. So it was an acceptable thing. I don't want to use the term very low budget, but it is on the lower end of the budget spectrum, no doubt about that. And they make do. They do. The acting is exactly what you would expect the acting to be, and that's not a criticism, but not many people really stand out. But realistically, typically you're not watching horror for the great Oscar-winning performances. You're there for hopefully the story and a little bit of blood and guts and, you know, maybe a hockey mask or something. In this one, they had this guy, Art the Clown, and he was in all the segments. So we have this, the first one's called the Ninth Circle of Hell, or I think it's just the Ninth Circle. And the only real memorable parts of it was this lady being at like a train station, or a bus station, I don't know, train station sounds better. And she's just waiting there, and Art the Clown sits across from her, and he just stares at her, and then he honks his horn menacingly at her, and then, you know, eventually he drugs her and takes her to some fucking cave or something, and puts a restraint around her neck and chains her to the floor or something. I don't fucking know. And there's other women, there's like two other women, and all they do is just cry, cry, cry. Nobody really thinks about, like, well, how do we get the fuck out of here? No, let's just cry. So everybody in that was pretty much useless. Turns out there was like some demons, and they like drinking pregnant women's blood, and there was implied rape, I believe. I don't know, it was just kind of a mess. Once you get past the bus station scene, you can just fast forward. Honestly, you can just fast forward. I don't think it was worth the 15 minutes. The rest of the way. Just my opinion. The second story was of this lady who was home alone. She was waiting for her husband or boyfriend to show up. And she's a little creeped out. And for good reason. There is an alien that shows up. Not just an alien, though. An alien wearing an alien mask who also has jazz hands. And prances around. I want you to really think about everything that I just said there. An alien with an alien mask, with gloves on, doing some jazz hands, and like Scooby-Doo style sneaking around. Unbelievable. I just watch it for the laughs. If you're drunk or stoned or in some kind of state of mind that's not normal, you may find this great. Otherwise, just fucking move along. The third story was actually the best one, and it was called Terrifier, and it was about this chick who, I thought she was an actress, but she's credited as the costume designer for a local indie film or something, I don't know. Anyways, she's nice looking, and she's not a bad actress, she needs gas, and she's on her way home, and at the gas station, she sees the gas station attendant and Art the Clown get into an argument of sorts, and well, Art kills the gas station attendant and then chases her down, and it's like a darker version of a Twilight Zone episode with the hitchhiker. And it worked. It worked. It was fun. It's not great. The final scene is very ridiculous, but you could do way worse than that. And the wraparound story, very hit or miss. That's all in all, the movie, if you got nothing else better to do, go for it. Otherwise, you can probably safely avoid it. Moving on to All Hallows Eve 2, because, hey, when you watch one bad movie, you may as well watch the sequel, right? Well, here's the thing. All Hallows Eve 2 is everything that I want from All Hallows Eve 1. It's a lot more short stories, and I think there's 8 of them in a wraparound story, and out of the 8, I liked 6 of them quite a bit. Like, I don't know, this was actually a decent movie. If you can find a copy online, or, you know, order one, whatever the hell you want to do, do so. I think you will be happy that you did that. There's no sense of me explaining all 8 freaking short stories. There is, I would say that The Last Halloween, if you do a Google search for it, you can actually find The Last Halloween short film. That's well worth your time. And then there was another one called M is for Masochist, but all I found was the ABCs of Horror clips and then a bunch of porn. So, I mean, after an hour, I gave up, and then I went back to searching for it, but that being said, we're going to move right along to, you know, this sucks. Like, you make a joke, and it's like, there's nobody there to, like, at least tell you how bad you failed on your joke. So it's like, haha, I'm my own audience. Yay. Alright, we move on to the 9th movie? Yeah, no, 8th movie, which was Wolf Creek. And Wolf Creek 2 was after that. So, Wolf Creek, both of them take place in Australia. And it's basically about these backpackers who run into some bad luck and find a guy who they think is nice and is helping them out, but he really just wants to torture and kill them because he really hates tourists. The thing is, the dude is so freaking likable and funny. You know how, like, Freddy Krueger became, like, just a different character. He totally morphed, and some people get pissed off, like, oh, fuck Freddy, he became funny. Eh, fuck you. I get it, like, Dark Freddy in Part 1 and 2 was cool, and he was a badass, and I'm not saying anything bad about him, but also Funny Freddy was also awesome. He had the fucking power glove, which any kid from the 80s who, you know, had a Nintendo, they know what the fuck I'm talking about. So, alright, let's not diss Funny Freddy. This guy's name in Wolf Creek is Mick Taylor, I believe. And there was a couple things that just, the first film was good, but there's issues. If you've ever seen a movie like Eden Lake, you'll kind of know what I'm talking about here. The issue is that when put in a position where it's life or death, do you just shoot once? Do you just stab once? Or do you beat, destroy, maim, fuck this person up until you are 100% positive that they are dead. I mean, because unless they're like Michael Myers or Jason Voorhees, like, we're talking about quote-unquote the real world here, then just kill them. Like, they're trying to kill you, so you don't give them any further opportunity. You slice their Achilles, you bash their skull in, you slit their throat, you do something. What you don't do is you don't shoot them, kind of graze them with a bullet, and then weakly hit them with the butt of the gun. Or maybe it was the stock. Sorry, I don't know. I'm not a gun guy. I'm thinking it's the stock of the gun. Whatever. Then, you know, after that particular moment, the movie was really good up to that point. That movie was probably like a 7 in my book. The lack of realism, the lack of forethought, just really bothered me. And then later on, this one of the girls has a chance to escape, and she's in this, I don't want to say barn or warehouse. It was a big fucking garage, I guess. And there's all these vehicles. She picks this one, and it just so happens to be the one that Mick is hiding in. Like, you can't have a movie that's taking place, like, in quote-unquote, like, the real world, so we're kind of stoked on, here's the rules. These are real-world rules. Like, in Lord of the Rings, you're like, okay, there's fucking elves. Okay. And you get the whole gist. There's magic, there's elves. Alright, so pretty much anything goes. In this movie, it's like the real world, so you don't have magic and elves, so you'd think, you know, a 1 out of 20 chance. Yeah, it could happen 5% of the time, because I'm a mathemagician, but the other 95% of the time, unlikely. So I just call bullshit. And it really ruined the movie for me. It took me out of the movie. So then I watched the sequel. I don't know. I'm a glutton for punishment. And for some reason, I'll see a shitty movie, and then I'll be like, oh, there's a sequel? Yeah, I'll watch that. And so I go into this thinking, alright, we know that Mick has a keen sense, and he's a little bit more superpowered than they want us to believe. And they kind of hammed it up with him. They made him so over the top that it took you out of the reality of it, and it just became more of a fantasy horror film. And it was enjoyable as hell. There's a scene where he's, I don't want to use the term torture, but there's something going on where he's got this one guy, restrained, and they just break out and they start singing Timey Kangaroo Down Sport. Or Timey Kangaroo Down, I think it's Timey Kangaroo Down Sport, I don't know. Anyways, like, the whole thing's just incredibly enjoyable. The last 10 minutes is somewhat of a clusterfuck. But, all in all, you could do so much worse. If you've had 3 beers in you, that movie is so entertaining. If you've had no beers in you, that movie's entertaining. So, there you go. I would recommend that. That's on Netflix. I think Final Destination 3 is also on Netflix. I don't think there was any other Final Destinations. I just wanted to point out anything that's on Netflix. Because I know a lot of you have Netflix. How long have I been doing this? Holy Christ, I've almost been doing this for a half hour. Alright, moving onward and upward, we are going to touch on Ghostbusters 2. Because, you know, that was the last Ghostbusters movie that was ever made. Ever. While not as great as the original, this is a more than worthy sequel. Gosh, there's probably a good 20 to 30 times where I found myself, like, smirking, laughing, giggling, like, it got a rise out of me in some capacity. And that's ridiculous. A movie that came out in 1989 still makes me laugh by myself. Like, if you're in a room with somebody, it's much easier to laugh. You know, you look over and somebody else has a little grin on their face and you get the grin. It's a little contagious. By yourself, though, something funny can happen. You're just sitting there, like, you acknowledge in your head that's funny, but you don't smile or anything sometimes. You don't laugh all the time. So for me to be so into it, it was really enjoyable. I haven't seen the movie in, oh, well over 10 years. I don't really know what there is to say. Like, everything about it was just really fun. I think Lewis and Janine, they kind of stole the show in a weird way. They were such a great side story to everything else going on. I don't know. It was just a really great movie, and that left us all wanting another Ghostbusters and wanting another Ghostbusters. And do you think they would ever give us another Ghostbusters? No. Of course they won't. Bastards. Still, always a good time. Like, I think you can get the Blu-ray with both Ghostbusters 1 and 2. Usually you can find that on sale for like $10 if you just keep an eye out. Obviously, it's well worth your $10. Okay, I think we got like 5 more movies left, maybe. Who's counting? Alright, so next one is number 11, Bone Tomahawk. I believe if you have Amazon Prime, this is one of the movies that you can watch for free on Amazon Prime. This cast is loaded. It has Kurt Russell, David Arquette, fucking Captain Spaulding himself, Sid Haig, Matthew Fox, Patrick Wilson, who was the star in, he starred in Orphan and The Conjuring. He's done a lot of other stuff, but since this is horror, we're going to stay with horror. Kurt Russell, of course, is the main man. My man Mac from the movie The Thing, one of the greatest horror films of all time. And as I was writing the blog, I'm sitting there like, I kept wanting to call him Mac so many times. Also, there is Richard Jenkins, who, he may not be a household name. He was the father in Step Brothers. He was also in Cabin in the Woods. You know who I'm talking about. Even though this is like a Western drama horror movie, he still has so many great one-liners. He kind of breaks up the horror of the whole thing. Like, he just has this like charm about him as the goofy old guy. So he really steals the show. I was also a big fan of Matthew Fox as Brooder. I'm trying to think if there was anybody else notable. I don't think there was. I mean, that's a hell of a fucking cast. So yes, Western horror film. Basically, long story short here is Patrick Wilson's wife, David Arquette, who is a criminal, and one of the deputies gets kidnapped, and they assume it's by the Indians, savages, troglodytes. They use all these terms, so I'm going to use them too, especially troglodytes. So our sheriff, our assistant deputy to the sheriff, Patrick Wilson, and Brooder, they all go get their horses and they mount up on this epic adventure. And yes, they do eventually find what they are looking for, and I'll leave it at that. It's really a well-done movie. I really actually kind of want to buy it. It's going on my wish list. It's a really good movie. Okay. Let's see. Next movie is They Look Like People. This was on Netflix. Now, this is a lower budget film. Not that it looks low budget, but it's a very talky indie style. Production value is great. The acting's very good. It has a very small cast of really the two main guys, Wyatt and Christian. Christian has a thing for a chick named Mara, And Mara has a friend named Sydney, I think. Sydney's in like two scenes. So really you're only dealing with like the three main people. But anyways, Wyatt is convinced that people are not who they seem to be. Think of something like They Live with Roddy Piper and Keith David. Or David Keith. No, it's Keith David. I always get those two mixed up. Anyway, think about in those terms, but in a more slow, plodding, less bubblegum and ass-kicking way. So Wyatt keeps getting these phone calls, like, warning him, like, how to take these things out. He goes and buys, like, sulfuric acid, and the voice tells him, yo, you're going to want to save your friend, and he's not one of them yet, but you're not going to be able to save your friend. And it's just this build-up, and it's only like an hour and 15-minute movie. And Wyatt just sees all these things, and you're like, is he nuts? Or is this really going to play out where he's a fucking genius here? And I'm not going to tell you. I'm really not going to tell you if he's nuts, if he's genius, or something in between. I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to tell you that if you have Netflix and you have 75 minutes, you have 75 minutes. Don't bullshit me. Don't fucking tell me you don't have 75 minutes. Take the time. Watch it. Worst case is that you've blown 75 minutes of your life, which is nothing. 75 minutes is an hour and 15 minutes. Everybody has that amount of time. People that tell you that they don't, they're liars. They're just like, oh, I got so much stuff to... No, you don't. No, no, no. You're a liar. So, really well done movie. The only thing I would say, and I include this in the blog at 9deuce.com, and you can also do 9deuce.com/blogs/. It's kind of like a movie that you'd probably only watch once, because once you have the payoff, that's all there is to it. There's really no sense in going back. There's no, like, it's not like Fight Club where, you know, you find out the whole thing and then you're like, holy shit, I want to rewatch that and watch for all these things. No, it's not. It's kind of like a one-and-done thing, but a really well-done one-and-done. Now, oh shit, I haven't posted some of these other blogs yet. Okay, so I've run out of written material. I will say that there's two other movies, at the very least, that I did watch. One was called All Cheerleaders Die. Once again, on Netflix. I don't really know what to say. On the plus side, there are young chicks that are beautiful and they're in cheerleader outfits, sometimes less. The girls that are quote-unquote unpopular or not as pretty are gorgeous because that's just how movies are. So, as a dude, the eye candy is great, although there is only, like, one pair of tits for a very brief moment. Still, like, just... the bikini party. It's truly a gem in that one regard. The soundtrack, though, you may want to shoot yourself in the ears. The soundtrack is absolutely awful. And, I mean, I guess maybe if you're a white girl, you might like this. I don't know who would like this. I really sat here and thought about it. Like, it kept me up at night. I was like, who is the intended audience of this film? And the only thing I come up with was, like, horny teenagers that have never, like, heard of anything. Like, they've never heard of the movie The Shining. So, you take these fucking troglodyte millennials that have never heard of The Shining, and you give them All Cheerleaders Die, and they may think this is a good movie. Like, their bullshit detector may go off and be like, you know, this still seems like shit. Because it is. It's a shit movie. the production values are there. There is a storyline. It's not the worst storyline, but all the characters, by and large, they are terribly unlikable people. There is the younger sister of one of the cheerleaders, the unpopular girl who can't get laid, but she's fucking gorgeous. But she's kind of like a sweetheart. So you can enjoy her. And then, like, for me, the most likable guy was the head of the football team, this black kid. He was awesome. His name was Tyler, maybe? Or Steve? I don't fucking know. Point is that this guy is a complete dickhead. Like, to the point where he punches this bitch in front of, like, at this party. He just knocks this bitch out. He does some more unspeakable acts. He rapes a bitch. He's still one of the only likable characters in the whole film. Like, that's how bad the characters were developed. That's where that film falls apart for me. I can't say that I recommend it, but, like, if you're at a party and you just want some, like, eye candy, you could put that on and just, like, mute it, and maybe you won't hate your life. But if you're really watching it to be entertained, rest assured, you will not be entertained, okay? The final movie that I want to discuss, and then I will get the fuck up off here, because I'm past the 40-minute mark. So, it's another Netflix film. It is called The Invitation. Now, I've often seen it on Netflix. It always has these good reviews. Like, it had like a 3.75 star rating. And Netflix had it pretty high. Or not Netflix. IMDb.com had it pretty high. Like 6 point something, I believe. And I just kept looking and I was like, this isn't going to be fun. So I say this, I begrudgingly put it on last night, because I really wanted to see why the hell is this movie so highly rated. If you don't have patience for films, if you're not willing to go 20, 30 minutes to get into the feel of the film, to meet the characters, to really get to know these characters, their purposes, and the story, and get that tinge of uncertainty. You know, the aura has to really sink in, like a good, a well-done haunted house film. It doesn't start right off with anything, it's just the subtleties. And this film is chock full of this uneasiness, and it slowly builds within the main character. And in that regard, it's very similar to the other film I talked about, They Look Like People. You have a main male character, and he thinks something bad. Like, he has this, like, impending doom or impending fear throughout the whole thing. And you walk the line between, is he nuts, or is something not quite as it seems? I mean, let's face it, it's horror, so 80% of the time, it's usually, well, things aren't what they seem, but every once in a while, you get something where it's not. I once again, I don't want to give away the ending. I will say it is definitely worth your time. I think it was like 1 hour and 40 minutes. Very, very, very enjoyable. I didn't sit there and check for the time. Like, during All Cheerleaders Die, I checked the time at least 10 different times. I don't think I even checked the time once. I was just enthralled by this movie, and it just snowballed slowly and slowly, and it just, it was really well done. That's a movie I could probably watch more than once. It also had John Carroll Lynch, who was, he's been in a lot of things, but he was Drew Carey's, like, gay or whatever, cross-dressing brother and the Drew Carey Show. He was Twisty the Clown in American Horror Story Freak Show. He played I believe is Gacy in American Horror Story Hotel. I can't remember his name, but he, last season, Walking Dead season 6, episode 3, the Morgan episode, the 90-minute Morgan episode, he was the big guy that trained Morgan. So you know who John Carroll Lynch is. And he's in this, and he plays a very important role. He's a really good actor. The acting was pretty well done. I can't imagine that the budget was very high. But the story was really good. And by the end of it, the characters that mattered, I absolutely connected with them. The characters that I didn't give a fuck about, they didn't waste our time making us give a fuck. It was really, really good. So, if you watch any of these movies, I would say Bone Tomahawk, The Invitation, They Look Like People, Final Destination 1, 2, 5, and All Hallows Eve 2. Those are my recommendations. Ghostbusters 2, of course. Wolf Creek 2, if you're looking for something a little cheesy and you just want a good laugh. The other ones you can absolutely pass upon. Moving forward, I'm going to keep working on getting some Netflix films reviewed, because by the middle of October, I want to be able to have more movies when people come to me. This happens every year. What should I watch? I got Netflix. Okay, here's the list. And I give like 30 movies, and people just like get cross-eyed and like, okay, so which one should I watch? And I'm like, motherfuck, I don't know. Like, I don't know exactly what your taste is. So look up a few of these, see the description, see what sounds good, because my taste in horror is definitely different from your taste in horror, just like it is for everybody. It's like nobody has the same taste in music. Not everybody has the same fucking taste in horror. I have a very broad range of taste in horror. I grew up on horror, I love horror, so things that I like, you probably aren't going to always like. So when you ask me, I say, hey, go watch Contracted, go watch Wormwood. Now I can actually add The Invitation to that list. So, there are some really good gems on Netflix, and my goal is to keep uncovering more and more of them. Pontypool, that's another one. Watch Pontypool. It's the only thing I don't know how to describe it. It's kind of like a slow burning zombie film, but it's something different than that. It's not your traditional zombie film, that's for sure, and that's about the best I can give you for a description, but the acting's really good, and it's a fun movie. So, with that being said, I need to get my ass back to work, and if I actually, get some feedback that people actually listen to this and like this, maybe I'll do a second one, or a third one, I don't know. I have no idea how fun this is to just listen to me ramble on. This could be like the most mind-numbing, boring experience of all time. I have no fucking clue. I'm not terribly entertaining. I'm just trying to give you like some feedback so you don't have to read through pages and pages of the blog. Okay, I'm rambling, so it's time for me to sign off. Once again, visit ninedeuce.com. Please, I am pouring so much time and effort into this. And it's frustrating when I don't see much results. Like, I'm really busting my ass here. I'm trying to make this be awesome. So please share it. If you like something that you see, tell your friends about it. Everybody knows somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody that likes horror. Okay? Or likes wrestling. Maybe they like podcasts. Maybe they like hearing a fat, white, bald guy talk to himself for 50 minutes. I don't fucking know. Just spread the word. Or if you're a chick, spread your legs. Ayo. Alright. This has been Kent, and I'm signing off now. I hope you've been Kentertained. Goodbye.